The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Well, yesterday was President's Day, a holiday in which we combined the president's birthdays of Washington and Lincoln, but now it's a celebration of all presidents.
And we're throwing John Tyler into the mix.
And John Tyler is in the mix,
God,
because if
bless
you
him.
Didn't hear this, John Tyler has two grandsons who are walking around today, who are alive today. He was the 10th president of the United States, and he was born in 1790, but he was the most fertile 70-year-old we've ever had, because he had a child at 63, and then his child had a child at 70, and thus we have two grandchildren walking the face of the earth today. It's amazing.
Theoretically, because you say he was born in 1790, right?
1790.
Had he been rolling in those circles, but he definitely read it in the newspaper. He was around for when Jefferson and John Adams died.
Right. Yes.
Because they died in 1826. It was 50 years after the Declaration of Independence.
He was 36 years old, which he might as well have been 70 back then, right?
I mean, he read it in the paper that Jefferson died and his grandkids are still walking around.
I know. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy. But if you're looking for today, what can we celebrate today? Like, what is the anniversary of something today? Like, if you go through, like, sports history, you know, Daytona 500 around this time, Olympics. But today is the day in 1998 that the U.S. hockey team destroyed their rooms at the Olympic Village in Japan. So just take that for what you will, America. Take that for what you will.
Was it on a President's Day? Maybe they were.
Maybe so.
They were protesting because John Taylor wasn't getting any love? Or John
I don't Tyler? Remember this. I don't remember the USA hockey team doing this. What were they protesting? What were they angry about? I know they were pros because they were the pros back then.
So it was in 98.
So why did they destroy hotel room in Japan?
Games in Nagano?
Nagano. That's right. Well done, Mr. Olympic. That's well done.
I'm curious now.
I am too. Now I'm kind of want to look into that story. So, my goodness,
a party gone awry.
Maybe it was a party. Maybe it was a party gone awry.
Because we know what the Olympic Village is all about.
All right, coming up, the combine is coming up. One person may not be throwing. Oh, we'll tell you who it is because he certainly may need to throw. That is coming up, as well as NFL players and NBA players. What do they not have in common that they want to have in common next?
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, enter to win a trip to watch Cactus League Baseball in Arizona. It's the SB Nation Radio Spring Training Getaway, presented by Talking Stick Resort. Winner will receive a two-night stay at the luxurious Four Diamond Talking Stick Resort in Scottsdale. That place is beautiful. You're going to love it. Two tickets to see both the Cubs and Rockies and the Brewers and the Diamondbacks. Play March 23rd and 24th at Salt River Fields and a $500 Visa card. Head to springtraininggetaway.com. That's springtraininggetaway.com. Enter today. Springtraininggetaway.com. Think about this for a second. You're going to go and you're going to spend time at this beautiful resort. Golf course, spa, showroom, casino, luxurious. You're going to get two tickets for some Cactus League baseball against the Cubs, the Rockies, the Brewers, and the Diamondbacks. Three of those teams made the playoffs last year. And the Diamondbacks could have made the playoffs, but they kind of tailed off towards the end. They were actually in the race for the NL West until, I don't know, late August, I think. They started kind of tailing off a little bit. But, you know, nevertheless, three of the playoff teams from last year's NL playoffs, you'll get to see them March 23rd and 24th. So you're going to get it's a nice, sweet deal. Go to springtraininggetaway.com, especially with the baseball and the luxurious resort. You're going to love it. Springtraininggetaway.com. All right, so what happened to you last night?
I don't know how to feel about this. On the one hand, I mean, we laughed about it as a family, but now I'm looking back on it, going, man, I think I need to change something about me. So my mom is visiting from Southern California, and decided to, you know, she wanted to cook like a decent meal for all of us, spaghetti and meatballs, and because that's her go-to, that's her specialty. The meatballs are awesome. And yesterday also happened to be National Wine Day, right?
Right.
I didn't know if you participate in such national holidays, and we didn't realize it at the time. But you know, we decided. I'm not a wine guy. I'm a beer guy. And anyways, the ladies in the house, my mom, my wife, my sister-in-law was there. They had gone through what they had bought at the store from wine, and they needed refill. So my brother and I decided, let's go and get some wine. Now my brother, so everyone knows out there, he is younger than me. He is only 14 younger than me, and I'm going to say only because we went to the store, we got two more bottles of wine. We're checking out. And the guy comes over. It's one of those self-checkout places when you see at your local grocery store. And the guy comes over, checks my brother's ID. Yeah, no big deal. My brother. Okay. But my brother has a full beard. He's a new dad. You know, he definitely looks like he's over 21. But I get it that you have to, you know, you card for people to look under 40. And you know what? Sometimes it's hit or miss with me. I think sometimes they'll just card me because, hey, the camera's on. They make me do it. You know, not because they think I'm not old enough. And so my brother just makes the comment of like, oh, I guess you're not going to card him. And this kid, I'm calling him a kid because he had to be 17 years old, is standing there and goes, oh, well, you know, we generally don't card people when, you know, we think they're related. And he goes, oh, so, you know, yes, you know, that's funny you say that because we are related. He goes, oh, I figured that you were here shopping with your dad.
Ah, that is great. Oh, that is great. Hey, that kid should learn a lesson. Don't fire a shot unless you know where it's going to land.
At first, right? My brother and I get back in the car, and we're walking to the car. I mean, we're laughing about it, having a good time. I was like, do you think he was serious? And I'm like, yes, I can tell he was serious because immediately when we told him, like, not his dad, his brother, you know, yes, there's a little bit of an age difference, but I'm his brother. You know, we're brothers.
So you said you were 14 years older than your brother?
Yeah.
So does your brother look 17, nope. 18 years nope. younger than you?
No.
Like where somebody not could say, oh, you had kids when you were young. But
not
that's,
at all. Maybe okay. you could probably pass it off when I was in college and he was a youngster running around. Maybe then you could pass it off, but now, no.
Ah, gotcha.
And this is where now I'm looking back on it going, oh my God, unless I need to change something about myself. That, you know, am I looking a little older now?
Like what? Get plastic surgery?
I don't know.
Wear different clothes?
Yes.
Fake your ID?
Am I not hip enough? I mean, I was wearing a t-shirt with like some stereos on it. I thought that was hip.
Right? I mean, wear modern clothing, right? I mean,
I don't have dad jeans. You know, yes, I'm rocking a dad bod, but aren't we all?
And those I really of us don't know who are at a particular age are doing that.
I don't know what the true definition of a dad bod, so I like to say that I have a dad bod.
No, well, hey, Liz, that's That works pretty well.
But yeah, the reason why I knew he was serious about it, because immediately when we said, hey, you know, not father, brother, he immediately went into, oh, you know what happened to me one time? One time I got mixed up for being my dad's father, you know, some bizarre story that, you know, like my sister's cousin's former roommate said this, you know, type of story. And
oh, so he was trying to cover his,
cover it up and make things happen. And you know what? It's like, you know what? Hey, I'm all for it. But the sadder thing of it all is that I really can't go to places with my brother anymore.
Oh, that is sad. Yeah, because you've kind of been pegged.
Well, not just for that, because every time when it's just the two of us that go somewhere and we come back to our wives who are at home, we always seem to have a story. Like something always seems to happen to us. And some we were able to share, like that one we're able to share. Everyone gets a good laugh. Others, it's one of those you had to be there to witness this type of moment. Or, you know, we're getting in trouble together. And I don't even know how this came about, but we're constantly getting in trouble together.
Wow.
We're constantly having stories to tell every single time we go out. So, but yeah, I'm a new father of a
new 20, yeah, exactly.
A father of a 28-year-old.
Yeah, that's wild. That's wild. Man, maybe we need to wear some younger clothing.
I guess so. Man.
It doesn't work for me because I mean I'm already pegged as an old guy anyway, so it doesn't matter.
It was shocking. It was shocking when he just says, "Yeah, I assumed you were shopping with your dad."
Oh gosh. All right. Well, that's
ouch.
Let's work. You should have a little goal. You should have a little goal. Say, how do I look younger? To. You know. Little hair coloring,
maybe that. You know, I mean, I do have a little. I do have a little gray in my beard. Not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot, but maybe a little anti-aging cream. Maybe a little for men.
See, that's the thing. I mean, you know, now I got to go to my wife and say, have you been lying to me? Because she says I'm aging gracefully. I still have a full head of hair.
That's what she gets paid to do. Yeah.
Well, maybe I need to give her a raise so she tells me the truth.
Right. I always tell my wife, I was like, should I get a little Just for Men in there? She goes, no, you're fine. I go, I got gray hair. What are you talking about? I'm fine. What do you mean I'm fine? She goes, who are you trying to impress? I go, well, yeah. There's nobody.
I mean, I got a few strands, but I'm not salt and pepper.
Because I'm good. So, I don't know. You're all right. You're all right. Maybe he thinks your brother does. Maybe you don't see it, but maybe others see your brother looking much younger than he really is.
No.
You'll go the other way. I'm trying to make you feel better.
I understand that, you know, but I don't need you. I don't need you to be my wife right now.
I'm not paying you
to float me compliments.
All right. Coming up next, somebody may not do something at the combine, but I kind of think he needs to. Who and what? That's coming up next on SB Nation Radio.
This is Mike Kersing, Let's Talk Wheels, with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. If you watch or read the news, you know about the Takata airbag recall. Most of these bad airbags were from 2002 to 2015 model cars built by 19 different companies. Over 37 million vehicles in the U.S. alone have been recalled. 15 Americans have died and hundreds have been hurt because of this. But less than half of these airbags have been replaced. That's crazy, folks. The parts are in stock. The repair is free. Please get your car in now because this is something that can kill you. The problem is worse in older vehicles used in hot and humid areas. So get yours in, and they'll usually give you a car to drive. Call the dealer or go to safercar.gov website to see if your vehicle has been added to the list. All you need is your vehicle identification number, which you can find on your title or your insurance card. Once again, repairs are free of charge, but you have to get it in. Please don't put it off. This is Mike Kersing with Let's Talk Wheels, are brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more of my tips, go to letstalkwheels.com or find us on Facebook as Let's Talk Wheels.
To celebrate the Jeep President's Day event, we're creating our own motorcade of the most awarded, best-selling SUV brand ever to hit the road and explore what lies beyond it. Leading the procession is Jeep Wrangler, American legend, and the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year. Following close is Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever, and versatile Jeep Compass with its class-leading technology and connectivity. And rounding it all out is Jeep Cherokee with its nimble 31 mpg highway. But great deals on this motorcade will be coming to an end soon. So hurry in today to the Jeep President's Day event. The Jeep brand and Jeep Grand Cherokee have received more awards over their lifetime than any other SUV or SUV brand. Based on compact SUV segmentation, OEM website, Auto Knowledge, EPA estimated 4-cylinder, 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
We'll be right back.
listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you're guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store's price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. The NFL Combine starts next week in Indianapolis. Listen, I give the NFL a zillion tons of credit for this. They have taken what is really kind of boring and turned it into a television show that I actually like watching. I enjoy watching the Combine. Now, I will say this, just full disclosure. I don't have a notepad. I'm not writing down 40 times. I'm not doing amateur scouting. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm not that into it, but I am into seeing just generally where these draftees are, just generally what the people's takes are. Like, oh my God, he is running. That is fast. Oh, that's fast for a linebacker. That's slow for a defensive back. Or he's, you know, the combine drills that they run. I kind of get into it. I like it. Kyler Murray, however, there is a report that Kyler Murray may, and I have to use that as a big exclamation point, may not throw at the combine. And I was a little shocked by this, because I'll tell you why. I am totally for these students, student athletes, I should say, or athletes, going to the combine or not going to the combine, not doing drills. Like, to me, it's a meat market. You don't want to be in the meat market, don't be in the meat market. You want to get drafted anyway, get drafted anyway. I mean, some guys don't want to go because they don't have to go. They know they're going to be a top five pick, or they know they're going to be a top 10 pick. Why go through the meat market that is the combine? It's a great place to go if you're really looking to up your stock, if you're really looking to try to make a name for yourself. Maybe you're in between rounds. Maybe you're trying to get into a different round. Maybe you know that if you put on a really good show, you won't be a third-round pick. You'll be a second-round pick, and that's going to mean more money. All of those things. I'm totally fine with guys adjusting their schedule at the combine for however they see fit. But I got a little advice for Kyler Murray. Throw at the combine. Show us you're all in on the football, because you have a very unique position. While you can tell the A's, I'm kind of going into football, you do have the Oakland A's in your back pocket. Like, if you get to the NFL and realize, I don't know about this, you've got baseball in your back pocket. Show teams you're all in. Show teams that football is in your heart and soul, because you can say it all you want. But go throw. I know the arguments are that against doing performances that you don't want to do, because I support that. But in your case, Kyler Murray, I would recommend do everything. Do everything. Show the teams you're all in.
Not only do you recommend, but it almost seems like there was so much uncertainty revolving just around him that it's almost like I would say you need to showcase your stuff now?
I would too. I kind of would lean that direction. That's why I said I don't think it's set in stone that he's not.
Yeah, but obviously he's going to have a pro day, or he's going to have private team workouts and whatnot. But, you know, it's like, for me, it's like, okay, you know, at the combine, you need to show that you are worth it. I mean, I think NFL teams are wanting to know, are you worth us drafting you round one? And definitely for him to know as well. Like you said, I mean, you still have the A's in your back pocket. They haven't given up, even though, you know, it'll probably end up being that way. They're still wanting Kyler Murray. And if you go and you perform at the combine and it's, you know, critics just jump all over you, NFL teams are like, oh, you know, you're not who we thought you were. Then you got the A's.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of guys don't have that. Like I said, the combine is really great for people that know they can play at the next level, but maybe need to show people that they can play it and be placed in a certain position in the draft, right? That a lot of the analysis on them is different. That's what I like about the combine. I like hearing those stories of a guy that, you know, hey, we thought he was a fourth round pick, but man, he did so good at the combine. He was a late second rounder, or he was an early third rounder. And that means a lot of money. That's a good jump in pay when you negotiate that first deal. Right. So
we all know, like, a Nick Bosa, he's going to go. Yeah, he's top 10.
Yeah.
He's
that's
top
why
10 talent. We know that.
You don't want to go. Don't go. Like, you don't have to go.
Yeah. He doesn't need to show up. Yeah, I mean, I think he's planning on it, but you don't need to.
I love it when people say, well, that's going to they're going to drop anything. Stop it. They don't have to go to your show. They don't have to go to the NFL's meat market show to show you, like, his talent enough is going to get him drafted where he wants.
Yeah. And Kyler Murray is definitely talented to get drafted. and everyone is, you know, picking him to be first round. You know, some are even saying top 10. But I think this, you know, doing this will legitimize his decision.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's my advice. Like, my advice to him would be go to the combine and do everything. Because, again, you're not like other players where you like, you want to convince us that you've made the right decision for you, that this came from the gut and the heart. You may need to show your future employer that, just in some sort of physical way, not just trust me on this. I'm not thinking about baseball. Go through the combine, go through everything at the combine. Just do that. Do your pro day, do all of those things to show people you're committed to the NFL, because trust me, there's going to be doubters. If there's social media, there are haters. And if there's haters, there are doubters. You don't want anybody getting more ammunition than they already need. Not to say that the teams are going to listen to that kind of chatter. They're going to make their own judgments. But my advice to Kyler Murray would be to go to the combine. Listen, I used to be anti-combine. I used to think it was stupid, right? I remember, I don't know, 10 years ago, whatever it was, I remember my friends at work would watch it and say, "Do you watch a combine?" I go, "No, I don't watch a combine. That's dumb. Why would you watch a combine? Just people working out." And then I started watching it, and I will tell you this, the NFL Network does a great job with it. I mean, it really does. It is entertaining. There's some way they do it that is just, it makes you want to watch. It's kind of neat. Like, I just throw it on. I just have it on in the background sometimes. Sometimes I'm into it. Sometimes it's just on in the background. But I like the combine. Yeah, it's kind of exactly.
Like, you know, there's marquee events in the Olympics that we can't wait for. And, you know, there's marquee events in the combine that we can't wait for. We can't wait for the running backs and the wide receivers to do the 40. Right?
I can't wait for the 40. I love
seeing that. But what we really don't care about is the offensive linemen doing the 40. So that's on in the background because we know, you know, and they advertise like, hey, you know, coming up after these guys will be these guys. And so they advertise that, and it is. It's just perfect. It's watching the Olympics. Like, you know, I don't really care about, you know, heat two of the 100-yard dash. But every once in a while, you get someone that you know, you're like, oh, wait, I'll pay attention for 10 seconds.
Yeah. And you know, and what there is. What I like about it is especially if I hear the guys that really do their homework on this, the guys that really, you know, they'll take a player. They really break it down to draft status. If you tell me some guy from like Louisiana Lafayette, for example, is a fast linebacker, right? Well, I don't watch Louisiana Lafayette play, so I don't know. But if you tell me that, If going into the draft, I know that, hey, they're kind of high. Teams are kind of high on this kid. He's really fast for a linebacker. I like watching the 40, even though the old joke is nobody runs in a straight line in the NFL. But at least I have an idea that he may be a fast linebacker that can cover ground really quick. Like, if you tell me he's fast and he runs like a linebacker who runs like a 4.4 or 4.5, I'm going to blow, like, you just, that's going to stick out. Right. Those are the kind of things that I like about the combine. There was one guy, and I wish I could remember his name because I want to give him credit. There was one player. I think it was a Pecco of the Broncos, but I'm not sure. He bench pressed like 400 pounds like a zillion times. And I remember watching that just blown away. Like, it was awesome. It was awesome to watch. I dig it. But I want to know how tall Kyler Murray is, because I'm getting sick of the stories of people saying he's 5'8", like he's 5'10", like he's 5'11", right? He's 4'6", right? Right? He's I don't know how tall Kyler Murray is, okay? Let's get to the combine and just measure him.
He's 5'0", 100 and nothing.
100 and nothing.
And he can hang with the best in the land.
That is right. Oh, my God. I can do it, coach. Oh, God. Yes. Oh, Rudy. Oh, God. I love Rudy. No, I don't. I actually hate that movie. It's so annoying. He's annoying.
You love it.
He is an annoying person.
He's a whiny kid throughout the entire movie, but you love it.
All he does is complain all movie long. Oh, Notre Dame won't give me a chance. Oh, Notre Dame won't let me in with my bad grades. Oh, Notre Dame won't let me start, even though I really have no reason to be here in the first place. Oh, my God. Enough with the whining, Rudy. Oh, that whole movie is nothing but that. Oh. And then the guy he works for, the custodian, like, couldn't play because of racism. And Rudy's complaining that he can't play because he's small?
But it wasn't because of race.
He thought
he was being sapped because of the color of his skin.
Right. Like, but was that the case?
Nope.
That wasn't the case?
No.
At the end?
He had too much anger in him.
Oh, that's right. He told Rudy that at the end.
Okay. He wasn't performing the way he should perform.
This is how long ago that I saw the movie.
You love it.
I love it. I love the way Hollywood goes. How can we make this story, which is our really good, true story, how can we make it better? I have an idea. Let's have everyone in Notre Dame protest Rudy not starting by dropping their jerseys off, threatening not to play.
That's right.
And then we find out that never, ever, ever, ever happened.
Nope.
You know who played for Notre Dame at the time Rudy was there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe Cool.
Joe Cool. And Joe Montana. He said nobody went in the office. Nobody walked in with jerseys trying to protest Rudy not playing.
I think the only thing he said that was historically accurate was that they did carry him off.
Yeah.
That was it.
But one of the biggest problems with the movie is Dan Devine. Remember, Eric Parsegian was the cool coach. Like, yeah, Rudy, you earned it. But then Dan Devine came in and was like, God, I'm stuck with this kid. How am I stuck with this guy? Oh, my God. My team's room. Oh, this. Dan Devine was actually supportive of Rudy. That was actually really supportive of Rudy.
Yeah,
Rudy had
to have one more hurdle to climb.
But he had to have this one enemy that came in at the last possible second to sabotage his college football career. SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, NBA in the All-Star break. About 25 or so games left to go. Chris Sheridan joins us from Sheridan Hoops and also the New York Daily News to talk NBA. How are you, Chris?
I'm great, Tony. Ron, how are you guys?
Good. I want to talk about Giannis because has Giannis transcended into superstar level status where it goes beyond the NBA yet? Because we know he's a star amongst us basketball fans. Has he elevated himself beyond the NBA?
Oh, I have to say so. Absolutely. The guy's a global icon. I mean, here's a guy who was literally selling water with his brother on the streets of Athens, you know, a half decade ago. And, skinny kid. Came out of the Greek second division. The Bucks sat on him and sat on him and got him, you know, around number 16 in the draft. Now he's on 60 Minutes. He's on, every TV show out there is doing a profile of the guy. He was a captain of the All-Star game. And if he hadn't been shooting so many three-pointers in that game, he probably would have took home the MVP.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris, how deep does the Eastern Conference go? We're talking about Milwaukee at the top, Toronto. But in terms of competitive teams, in terms of the 18-deep playoff, how deep does the Eastern Conference go in terms of guys that could actually win that conference?
I'd have to say it's about five deep. Certainly Boston and Milwaukee and Toronto sitting at the top of the conference, and Milwaukee sitting really at the top of the lead, you know, those are the two teams to beat. But, you know, people are sleeping on the Pacers a little bit. And then the Celtics and Sixers are what they are. The Sixers, you know, they brought in Tobias Harris, and they, after bringing in Jimmy Butler, they might have the strongest starting five in the Eastern Conference, although they don't play the Celtics very well. I was down in Philly the other night covering the Celtics-Sixers game, and Celtics kind of have their numbers. So, but 1-5, you got damn good teams. And then at 6 with the Brooklyn Nets, you know, D'Angelo Russell's been a heck of a player for them. He made the All-Star team, and Caris LeVert is back now. But Spencer Dinwiddie is out, and Sean Marks didn't make a trade when he maybe had the goods to make a trade. He had Kenneth Faried on an expiring contract, but he waived him, and the Rockets picked him up, and Faried has been starting for the Rockets ever since while Clint Capella sits out.
Chris, let's go to the Western Conference. Denver's still staying there right on top of the Western Conference. A lot of guys, people don't know that play for the Nuggets and the style of play that the Nuggets play. How good are this Nuggets team? How dangerous in a seven-game series can they be?
Well, they're tremendously dangerous because they got a player like nobody else has in Nikola Jokic. You know, Jokic, he's the only point center in the league. He can pass it, he can shoot it, he can handle the rock. They're sitting right now at about 40-1 to win the NBA championship, and people just sleeping on him. you know, they're 2 games back of Golden State, but nobody predicted that the Denver Nuggets would be competing for the top spot in the Western Conference. And they've done it despite overcoming, you know, just a boatload of injuries. And so don't sleep on the Nuggets, but don't sleep on Oklahoma City either, because they're sitting 4 games back. Paul George is having the best season of his career. And Russell Westbrook, I believe, has a triple-double streak up to 11.
Yeah, let's get to the Oklahoma City Thunder. What is working with that? Because, you know, look, it's one or the other, but now they're getting both. They're getting great production from Paul George, the production that they always gotten from Russell Westbrook. That didn't occur at the beginning of the season. Did Donovan make adjustments, or did these guys figure it out themselves?
It's a little of both. But, you know, there's a big addition by subtraction thing there with Carmelo Anthony not being on the team this year. It's opened up a lot more scoring opportunities for both Russ and for Paul George. And I think you see that in Paul George's numbers. And, you know, it doesn't hurt that they got a guy who dunked over Shaq in the dunk contest the other night, and Hamado Diallo created a little bit of a buzz around the Thunder. But, that, you know, I've covered a lot of dunk contests, and that was one of the best dunks I've ever seen. So, you know, look, they got the same team. They got a lot of the same parts as they had last year, but the addition by subtraction thing has really opened up the court for Paul George, and that's why he's having the best season of his NBA career, and why Russell Westbrook has got this crazy triple double streak.
When you look at a team like the Houston Rockets and what James Harden is doing, he's got to do this, otherwise they've got nothing. But in terms of complementary guys around him, what are they missing? What are the Rockets missing that they didn't have in last year when they almost went to the finals?
You know, they don't have the two defenders that they had in Trevor Ariza and Luke Barmute. And, you know, everybody talks about offense, and especially James Harden's streak of scoring 30 or more points, which is now at 31. And, you know, he's second behind Will Chamberlain for the longest 30-point streak ever. So they're missing some of the defense that they had last year, but they did, like I mentioned earlier, they made a nice pickup in Kenneth Faried. They got him from Brooklyn, and they got him for nothing. And he's manning down. He's manning the fort at the center position until Clint Capella gets back. And anytime you have James Harden on your team, and then if you put him together with a healthy Chris Paul, you got a team that can compete. And let's not forget, this is a team that was up 3-2 on the Golden State Warriors in the Western Conference Finals last year. And then down goes Chris Paul with a sprained ankle, and Harden tries to do too much in the fourth quarters of games 6 and 7, tries to do too much all by himself, and the Warriors came back and won that one.
The Anthony Davis situation, where it was public and people were making public, here's what we could offer, and here's what the Lakers especially, was that handled wrong, Chris, or is that just the way this is going to be going down in the NBA when guys want trades?
You know, in hindsight, I guess you could say it was handled wrong, maybe. But, you know, Rich Paul was working hard on behalf of his client. Rich Paul was trying to get Anthony Davis traded to the Lakers, and he was pulling out every trick in the book to get Anthony Davis traded to the Lakers. And the fact of the matter is the Pelicans never came back with a worthy counteroffer to Magic Johnson, and it ended up costing Dell Demps' job. So they've got Danny Ferry in there now as the interim coach, and they still got Alvin Gentry as the interim GM, and they've still got Alvin Gentry as the coach. And, you know, but they are what they are. They're the 13th best team in the Western Conference, and now Davis coming out over the All-Star break and saying, look, I'll pretty much take a trade anywhere. That, you know, that's a big change in tune from him, because his list was 5 teams long prior to the trade deadline. Now if the list has 29 teams on it, you know, you should expect a bidding war for Anthony Davis by the time the summer rolls around.
How come, Chris, they tried. I mean, they tried with Boogie Cousins. They've tried. How come they couldn't match anybody with them to make New Orleans a very competitive team?
Well, they lost Boogie on the free agent market, and they didn't get anything back. And they lost Rajon Rondo on the free agent market, and they didn't get anything back. And when you have, especially a guy like Boogie, who's a max-level player if he hadn't had a torn Achilles, when you got a guy like that and he becomes a free agent, if you can't find a sign-in trade that brings you something back, well, you just lost a max-level player and you didn't get him back. I mean, you look at that team last year compared to this year, and, you know, they had Rondo and they had Cousins and they went to the playoffs and they did pretty well. You take Rondo and Cousins out of the equation, and Anthony Davis has just been surrounded by, you know, not that many good players. Alfred Payton has played very well when he's been in there, but he's been hurt much of the year. And there's just not a lot around him. And hence, that's why he made his trade requests. And that's why it went public, and that's why that's all anybody was talking about over the All-Star break, other than Hamidou Diallo's dunk over Shaq.
Chris, if we're just looking to get the Lakers into the postseason anyway, shape or form, are they in good shape, bad shape, awful shape in terms of making a run towards the bottom half of the Western Conference?
Well, I just heard Jalen Rose on ESPN saying, not only are they not going to make the playoffs, but Brian Shaw is going to be the new coach. And I think that's a little bit premature. We still have to go through February free agency. There are some guys out there that are going to get buyouts. Jamal Crawford is a name that comes to mind. And so what the Lakers look like today on February 19th is not necessarily the same as they're going to look on March 1st after buyout season and February free agency is finished. Now, remember last year, the Philadelphia 76ers, they were a totally different team on March 1st as they were after the trade deadline because they got Ersan Ilyasova and Marco Bellinelli in February free agency. And those guys helped contribute to Philadelphia winning 16 straight games at the end of the season and going into the playoffs with a head of steam. So I'm not counting out the Lakers. I know they're sitting in 10th right now. They're behind Sacramento. They're under 500. But you never bet against LeBron James. And they do have a tough schedule, but this is a guy who wants to go to a ninth straight NBA Finals, and he and his team and Magic and Kobe and Jeannie Buss are going to do what it takes to shake up that roster a little bit, get in a couple other players that they like. And, again, what the Lakers look like today and what the Lakers look like on March 1st are not necessarily the same thing. We got, you know, we still got, what, 11 days to get to March 1st. It's not a leap year, is it? So there's time. They have time to still change around their roster.
Chris, when we get to the midway point, or, you know, kind of the midway point in an All-Star break, it's a time to assess where the league is. NBA, is it in great shape, good shape, could get better shape? Where does it stand right now?
I think the NBA is in about as good a shape as it's ever been. The money's pouring in. The TV money's pouring in. With sports gambling becoming not illegal anymore, this is the biggest pile of money that's ever come into sports ever. I mean, this is as big as TV. The FBI estimates that the sports gambling market is worth $500 billion, with a B, dollars per year. But they don't really know because it's so much of it has been, you know, run by the mob for so many years. So
yeah.
With sports gambling becoming legalized, and it's legal in 8 states now, plus the District of Columbia, and there's bills pending in about 20 or 25 state legislatures. Sports gambling is going to become normalized in this country. And you take that sports gambling money and you put it with their TV money, and we're going to see a salary cap up and around, you know, in the $150 million range over the next couple of years.
Chris, great stuff. Really appreciate your time, my man. Appreciate it.
All right, Ron. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, that's Chris Sheridan, Daily News in New York, and also Sheridan Hoops. So catch him there. Listen, I think he's right. I think the NBA is in great shape. I mean, look, the Anthony Davis thing wasn't a good look for the league, but that's like a fly on the windshield when it compared to what it's doing. It's so funny. I lived in Vegas for 3 years early in my career, and there was the Maloof brothers owned the Sacramento Kings, and there was this kind of thought that maybe they could move them to Vegas. Oh, this was late 90s, early 2000s, I think. And my God, you would have thought we were suggesting that, you know, we were going to use child labor. I mean, it was so out of the idea that you could have the NBA team up with gambling. Like, it was just so foreign a concept, right? Never, they'll never come here. David Stern will never associate with any sort of any area that's got legalized. It's amazing what a couple of years, softening of the stance, almost universality, not quite there yet. Still got a lot of place states where it's got to go. But when it does, it's amazing how these leagues see where the cash is going and where the cash is coming from and how they latch right onto it, right? Where they take these big stands because it's over there where they don't have to go, and it's over there where they don't have to go. But once it starts getting universal, once states start adding it and it becomes more around the country, they know where the money is, and they'll latch onto that thing, and they'll be like, oh, no, no, it's all good. We love it. And he's 100% right. There's more money coming in. It is pouring into this league. So, yeah, there are moments where people complain about this NBA going, I don't like it, the fact that these guys are creating super teams. I don't like it that they did the Anthony Davis thing didn't look very good. Or I don't like it that whatever it is, right? But the reality of it is the league's in great shape. The association's in fantastic shape. 800-777-2907 is the number, or on Twitter at Tony D Radio on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Yeah, you heard the man say it. This hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I'm clapping. The guy just told me to clap. I'm clapping
right with you.
Subliminally embedded into my skull. The guy
That's
said,
right.
You clap and I'm clapping.
I got something for you to clap about.
What is we clapping
about?
There are about?
Two movie previews. I don't know if you've seen them. And
I like previews.
I'm excited about both of them.
Right.
Because I didn't hear anything about it until all of a sudden, oh, there's a movie preview. One is a movie called Yesterday. Have you seen this one?
No. What is that about? Time travel?
No. Well.
Okay.
Somewhat. Yesterday follows a struggling singer-songwriter who's trying to make his mark. He's riding his bike home one day, gets into an accident, right? And coming out of, like, I guess a coma, but I don't think he was in a coma for that long, his girlfriend or wife, I'm not really sure the dynamic from the trailer yet, gives him a guitar, a brand new guitar. And he's like, oh, great. You know, and he starts playing. And he sings the song Yesterday by the Beatles.
By the Beatles, yeah.
And they all stop and go, oh, my God, when did you write that? And he literally wakes up in a world where the Beatles never existed.
Oh, hello. I'm into that. I am into that. That sounds great.
And he's been a struggling singer-songwriter, so he all of a sudden, he just starts doing Beatles songs.
Okay, before you tell me the next one, can I just make a quick point here? That's the kind of stuff Hollywood needs to start doing. That's a great idea for a movie.
Isn't it?
That is a great story. That is a unique story. Stop recycling the same old stuff and giving me remakes of things. That's an original story. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted to make that point.
No, but I mean, it just, you got to see the preview. It's just, I mean, it gives you chills like, oh my God, what would it be like if, you know, you knew all the songs to the worst of the greatest hits ever and nobody knows.
And nobody knows that.
And the other one's just a little old biopic that's centered around Motley Crue.
Oh, I'm watching that one too.
Yeah,
Motley Crue. Are you kidding me? God, is that rated X?
I hope it needs to be.
Motley Crue. SB Nation AM.